today, I'm actually not going to be sharing with you all, all right? As many of you guys remember, this past Ignite, we were able to commission some of our brothers. So Tufu from our site, Joe from Ann Arbor, and then Josh from our Chicago site as staff intern. Because we've identified the calling in their lives to pastoral ministry. And eventually we wanted to give them opportunities to take steps towards really being able to fulfill that calling. And so I'm really excited that we've been able to raise up Tufu and to really identify the calling that God has in his life. So we want to be able to take steps towards really being able to commission him off as being on staff here as one of the pastoral staff. I'm going to actually go ahead and invite Tufu to come up because he's going to be sharing God's word with us this morning. All right. So.
Actually, I want to thank Pastor Ben. This will be, the 13th year that I've known him. I've known him since I was 18, so it's kind of crazy. Oh, goodness. And he's just been a really good mentor for me throughout the years. I mean, he's seen me through everything from girl problems to like family problems. And I think he's always been really faithful to me. And I just thank Pastor Ben. And what he asked me to do is to speak on this topic of last words. And we would like as a church to impart for you guys our last words before you guys hit the summer season, right? For me personally, these are really the things that I would like to share with you. And I'm going to try to draw from what Christ shares to his church before he is crucified. Okay. So if you guys could open up your books to the book of John, chapter 17, verses 6 to 10. But before then, I'm wondering how many of us in this room have ever struggled in our faith, right? Perhaps it was after that retreat, right? You experienced that spiritual high, and then you came home, and you're sitting by yourself, and you're thinking, wait, did all that really happen? Did I just experience God, or did it all happen in my mind? Was it just an emotion? Was it the music? Perhaps it happened as you were talking to friends or family about your faith, and they just started questioning you. Could that really be possible? Why are you living like this, right? Why are you making those decisions? In that moment, did you step back and say, wait, could this be real? Is God really that good? Or perhaps it was in the solitude of a private struggle. You're thinking, how can God let me go through this? Right? If God is real, how can he really allow me to do this? And I want to share with you guys my own story, right? My own private struggle. In 2008, Pastor Ben and me and a team of people came down from Ann Arbor to plant this church. And in Ann Arbor, I was really, really busy most of the times. I was a leader, and almost every single day of the week was accounted for. Right? It was Monday, I had planning meeting with to prepare for life group. Tuesday was life group. Wednesday, I met with people. Thursday, every other Thursday, we had prayer. Friday, we had access. Saturday, we had different gatherings for church. Sunday, we had church, right? Kind of similar to our schedule now. And when I came to Austin, all that really stopped, okay? We didn't have life groups, so I didn't have planning meetings. I didn't have life group. We didn't have members, so I didn't have to meet with anybody. And all of a sudden, I found myself in this slump, right? It was like probably one of the darkest depressions I've ever had. You know, there was really no motivation for me to read the Bible, and so I didn't, right? There's no reason. It didn't seem like there was much to pray for because no one was really struggling, so I didn't, right? And before long, I found myself just kind of really struggling. Like, could God could he be real? And I remember one day my roommates had left. They were taking care of some responsibilities for church and shopping, and I was left at home. It was one of the few opportunities I had just to kind of sit and reflect. And I was in my room, and I was thinking to myself, God, why would you send me here? There are no people here, right? Can you even be real? Like, I think there's some grave mistake, not just in what you call me to do, but maybe there, maybe I'm not hearing you correctly. Maybe you're not even there, and I'm just kind of living this life very foolishly. And, oh, man, that was such a dark time. And I wonder if for us in this upcoming season, if we'll have moments like that. Now, I'm sure, maybe not this year, but you'll have moments like that where you really question and stop and say, wait, is God, are you really there? Are you at work? And this passage, chapter 17, verses 6 to 10, it really speaks to that, right? Jesus, as he's preparing for the cross, right, preparing to be nailed to two planks of wood, right, he cries out to his Father, right? And this prayer is probably, we talk about intimacy a lot in our church, but this is probably his most intimate prayer in his gravest moment of need. And this is him speaking to his Father, right? Let me read that for us. If you don't have a Bible, you can look on with someone next to you. Chapter 17, verses 6 to 19. I have revealed you to those whom you gave out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them, and I kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, and they too may be truly sanctified. Okay. As I was struggling with my faith, there was something really unusual that happened. About 2 or 3 months into us being here in Austin, a friend of mine got married, and he actually got married in San Antonio. And a bunch of our friends flew down from all different places. And I had a mentor there, an older brother who had been my life group leader. And he came to the wedding, and he was just kind of chatting with me. And, you know, leaders have a way of just kind of sensing how people are doing, like especially their members or their former members. And so he just sat me down and said, hey, what's going on, man? Nothing. You know, I'm doing the church plant thing, right? And he just kind of, you know, pushed away the curtain like, you know, leaders do, and was drawing out the real issues. And he asked me something that really knocked me off of balance, where he said, have you been reading the Bible, right? And that really kind of caught me off guard. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? Like, I've been a leader for a while, you know, like, how can you ask me this? You know, of course, not really, you know, not really, right? And that's kind of the situation we fall in, especially when, so here's a scenario for you guys, right? The next, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's going to be pounding the books, right? You guys are going 100 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden, you finish your last exam, mom, dad shows up, right? You go home, and for the rest of the summer, right, you don't have to do anything, no responsibilities, right? You don't have to go to church, you don't have to go to life group, no life group leaders hounding you, right? No LCG, nothing, right? All of a sudden, the world is your oyster, right? And that's what happened to me, and that's what's going to happen in part to you guys in a couple of weeks when exams finish. And yeah, for me, it was startling. I mean, thinking about it, I'm like, wait, I'm a leader. I know all this stuff, but then I wasn't practicing it, right? And for you guys, the same thing is, I mean, if anything, is one thing is repeated over and over. It's like, have you been reading? Have you been doing your devotions, right? But when you get that time to yourself, it seems, without that accountability, that's the first thing that goes out the window, right? Devotion. It's instead of thinking about devotion, you're thinking, oh, how much more time of sleep can I get? How much later can I stay up to chat with friends or to read random things on, I don't know, online or play video games, right? And that's the first thing that goes. But the God says that his word is a lamp to our feet, right? And he says it's a light to our path. And I remember actually after my conversation with this older leader, I came back and I just decided, you know what? Okay, I can't mess around. I got to actually read the Bible. And when I started reading the Bible again, I kind of half expected that there would be this sense of guilt, right? But instead, it was something really different. The Word of God was extra sweet. Has that ever happened to you guys? I'm wondering. Right? You read the Word of God, and then it's almost extra sweet. And it kind of that was also, I mean, very kind of jolting for me. Like, how is it that I've been gone from the Word of God for so long, and then all of a sudden I read it, and then the Word of God is so rich, right? And it's so fulfilling, right? So I don't know, so true in my life. And I realize that's really God's intention. Right, that he wants this word to be sweet like honey on our lips, and he wants it to be good, right? And he doesn't want it to be boring, right? He doesn't want it to be like a responsibility, but he really wants to speak to us, right? I think that was not the end of that struggle, but it was a bright spot, and it was a reminder that that even in the midst of my private struggle and in the midst of that personal little dilemma that I had. Right, that God was still working, right? And the same thing is going to happen to you guys, right? I already know a lot of you guys are going to the things you're going to struggle with: apathy, right? Just lack of direction. And I think in those moments, I hope that you'll take a pause and you'll say, "Okay, God, I know the word is true. Let me take a look at it." Okay, so let's take a look here. His word is truth. Okay, his word is truth. I have 2 points for us. The first point is that Christ's words cannot be ignored. Okay, Christ's words cannot be ignored. And I actually have a small activity for us. I need 2 volunteers. This is the teacher side of me. When I'm not doing this, I'm a teacher. So can I get 2 volunteers? Actually, someone with a pair of headphones. Anybody have a pair of headphones here? Okay, Willie, come on up. Okay. Willie, I need you to go outside and try to listen to these words, the words of this song, and try to memorize it, okay? And then someone will come get you when we're done. Okay, I need a second volunteer. A second volunteer. Anybody? Okay, come on up, Jeremy. Okay, you just sit here for a second. So if you've ever been on a missions trip with me, or if you've ever... been in one of my classes, one of the things I love to do is I love to have people off guard, right? And I do this thing where I blindfold them and I lead them, right, through different mazes, right? That was the first thing we did as part of this year's missions team, right? This first thing we did as part of this year's spring break team. And so I've got something similar for Willie. He is going to be holding a cup with this dodgeball, and he's got a figure a way out through this crowd, okay? And then Jeremy will be giving him instructions, okay? And we'll tell Willie all of this, except one thing we're not going to tell him, and this is the prank. Once we start this, we're going to have people walk into the aisleway, okay? And he's got to pay attention to Jeremy's voice. Okay, you guys ready? Okay, Jeremy, do you want to go get Willie? Okay. What's that? Oh, blindfold. Yeah, we'll give him that in a second. It was Backstreet Boys, by the way. Yeah, just get him. Tell him to come in. Okay, hey, Willie. You can take the headphones out. Did you hear anything that we said?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good. Do you know the lyrics of the song? Okay, it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Hey, here's what I want you to do. Hey, Willie, we're going to put a blindfold on you, and your goal is to start where Susan is. You see where Susan is?
Yeah.
Hold the ball in that cup, and with the blindfold, and you're going to try to find your way all the way to Becky, but we have Jeremy to lead you. Okay, can you give this?
Give
Yeah. So you're going to use that blindfold. Make sure you can't hear any or you can't see anything. And when you're done, you're going to come all the way. I mean, when you go get through all the way here, you're going to give the ball to Becky, and Jeremy will direct you to hand the cup to Becky. Make sure you don't drop the ball, okay? You think you got it? Okay. Yeah, you got to go all the way over there, follow him, and you got to give him directions. Okay, give us a thumbs up, Willie, when you're ready. Okay, can I have everybody's attention? Okay, everybody give him a round of applause. Good job, Willie. Hey, Willie, how did you feel as you're going through that maze?
Very helpless, and that's so unexpected.
Yeah. Okay, come on up, come on up. So what was the hardest thing about this whole experience?
The hardest experience? Just knowing I have to depend on what Jeremy says and everything he goes through. Because I have no control of anything. Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks, Willie. Everybody give him another round of applause. Okay. That was kind of a silly demonstration. But hopefully you guys get the picture here, right? Why is it important to listen to God's voice, right? Okay, apparently only one person knows what's going on with everything, right? And it's really important for us to pay attention. Right, what happens, actually, what happened? What would happen if Willie just decided that, you know, I got this, Jeremy. I'm just going to figure this out on my own. I saw this path before I left. What do you think would happen? I mean, anybody? He'd step on Patrick, right? Patrick was laid out on the floor. I don't know if you guys saw that. Right? He'd run into people. He'd drop the ball for sure. Okay, and that's actually the same thing that happens when we decide that we're going to do this thing on our own, right? And during the summer, here's what's going to happen. All the things that you guys depend on, that spiritual structure that you depend on, Tim or Johan or Lisa yelling at you to make sure that you're doing all that stuff, well, they're not going to be there, right? So what you need to do is you actually have to learn to listen for yourself. Right, as great as they are as mentors and leaders, you have to actually learn to discern God's voice yourself. Right, and unless you're doing that, right, you're going to find yourself bumping into things and having a hard time. Okay, I've got a short story for us, I think that here's the thing. Right, we know that when it's high pressure and there's so many things at stake, it's important for us to kind of focus on our spiritual life. Hopefully we know that, right? So during the school year, this is what's going on. You've got exams, you've got club meetings, you've got, you know, your parents calling you, and you've got life group, and you've got ministry team, and things are going so fast, right? And you've really got to focus, right? And so that spiritual connection, like your relationship with God, becomes very important, right? Not only do you have leaders, but you also have the pace of life is really quick. But do you know that actually the majority of car accidents don't happen on the highway, right? They are low collision accidents that happen on regular streets, right? Everyday streets, you know, that are pretty close to home. And I think the danger is when we hit summer, right? It's like, you know, the momentum just kind of slows down, and our guard comes down, and a lot of things just happen. And so here's a story. There was a naval officer, right? And this is back in the day. He's sailing on the ocean, and they see a pirate ship in the horizon. They've got the skull and the crossbones, and everybody in the ship freaks out, and all his crew stop, and they say, wait, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the admiral of the ship says as calmly as he can, men, take courage, you know, everybody to their stations, prepare for battle, right? And bring me my red shirt, right? And so all the people, they go to their stations, they get ready for battle, and that day nobody is lost, right? And afterwards, his first mate comes up to him and says, hey, admiral, you led us so courageously. Why did you ask for a red shirt? Right? And he goes, well, it's because I thought that I might get shot or I might get cut. And if I started bleeding, I wanted to have a red shirt on so that none of that would be seen. And my men would continue to be courageous and they would fight valiantly, even after I was wounded. And the guy goes, oh, great. Wow, you're such a brave admiral. Okay, a couple weeks pass by, and they're still on the ocean. And in the horizon, they see 16 pirate ships coming straight at them, right? And everybody's freaking out, like, oh, my gosh, what are you going to do? Right? And they're just kind of unsure. And so the admiral says, okay, take courage, guys. Everybody to their stations, prepare for war, and bring me my brown pants. I think yeah, God's word is very important, right? And let me make the transition. The funny thing is, okay, for us, we take courage in such random things, right? Like, who's to say that people really can come through, right? But God's word is different, right? Like, as you saw, Willie found his way through because listening to Jeremy's voice. But God is that much more precise, right? And where am I at? Yeah, in those high pressure and low pressure situations, it's really God's voice that's directing us, and He's where He's leading us. Okay, I have one more point. Christ's words impart the full measure of His joy. I think that a lot of us, when we hit these slumps, right? Usually, sometimes it's like it all hits you at once, and sometimes it's death by a million paper cuts. But when we hit these slumps, however we hit it, we start thinking about God's word as mere survival. Like, this is just so that I can endure. But that's actually not how it works, right? God's word is more than just an instruction book. It's actually to impart for us His joy. Okay, let's take a look at verse 13, actually. And let's read this one more time. This is Christ speaking to God, but simultaneously in earshot of His disciples. And here's what He says. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. And when we think about that, it's such an interesting thing. Here is Christ in a great despair as He's preparing to die on the cross, and He says this to the Father and both to His people, right, to His disciples who are following Him. And I think the beauty of Christ is he knows and He anticipates the pressures that we're going to face, and he knows and he understands the things, the sins that we're going to fall into, right, already. And this is Him writing before He dies in advance to us, right? I want you to take a second and just think about that sin that you constantly fall into, and the situations that surround it, right? Whether it's you going back home. Remember, I mean, you have changed quite a bit, but your home environment hasn't. The sins that you struggled with when you were home, right, when you go back, actually, they're just there waiting for you, right? And as you go back, you're going to discover these same things, right? They're still there waiting for you. And when you fall, right, when you struggle, right, when you doubt, right, God has prepared in advance His forgiveness. Right. In the same way, for me, when I was struggling, when we first started the church, it wasn't a surprise to God. God wasn't like, oh, whoa, what's going on, Tufu? Right? God already knew those things. And in advance, He had prepared for me His grace. Right? He had prepared for me this friend that I would meet. Right? And I think I find such pleasure in that. Right? Such joy to know that God loves me in this supernatural way. Right? And Christ's words, I mean, how do you think about this? How is it that we can find joy in such pain, right? I mean, how can Christ find so much joy in pain? Right, here's Christ, right? He's preparing for the cross. He knows in advance that his disciples that are around Him are, in a couple of hours, they're going to scatter, right? And He's going to be beaten, He's going to be humiliated, He's going to be stripped, right? And He's going to bleed, right, to death, and He's going to be cut and hung on a cross. And how is it that He can say that this is His joy, right? I think He can say that only because He understands who His Father is, only because He understands the end result, that that his father loves him and he's going to provide for him. And I mean, for me, when I think about those same things that I went through, right, I understand that Christ sees for me in advance. He saw this moment right now, before I could see it in 2008. He saw that you guys would all be here. He saw that everything would be okay. And I couldn't see that because I was so nearsighted. But I think God is able to see that. And I think what allows us, or what will allow you all during the summer to get through those private struggles or those personal tests of your faith, is for you to see with this eternal perspective, that you were not just living for this temporary, but we're also living for something that is eternal. I'd actually like to close us with this poem that I read first in ninth grade in high school, and it's actually come to have great meaning in my life, and it's changed a little. When I first read this, I was 14, and my whole future was ahead of me, and a dream sent like kind of an ephemeral thing. But as I read this today, I think a lot about what that dream really refers to, and the weight behind by the dream. I think the dream is something that is so dear to us. It's probably the deepest part of us, our longing. And in many ways, our relationship with God is something very deep. It's a personal relationship, right? And so read with me this poem as I read through. And think about, not necessarily the dream, but this personal relationship with God. Okay. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode? And this is by Langston Hughes. And I wonder if, in many ways, our relationship with God, if when we put it off to the side, like so many of us will be tempted to do this summer, if these are the very things that happen to our relationship. We starve it, right? And all of a sudden, we come to it one day and we realize, oh, it's been neglected for quite some time. It's gathered dust and gotten old, and we don't even remember, right, God's voice or the Word of God, right? And just imagine, picture that, actually. Picture this this rotting stuff right in the middle of us that was for a long time in our life the sweetest part of who we are, and we've just been neglected. Right, and that now sitting in the center, because that's where Christ is for most of us. Right, it's sitting in the center, and it just it's just sagging away. Right, and how, what a terrible sight that is. But I don't think that's how God wants it to be. And the funny thing is, the moment that we return to Christ, right, as for me, when I returned to Christ in my devotions, I found that it was just as good, right? He was just as good. The Word was actually overwhelmingly good, right? And that's my encouragement to all of you guys as you guys prepare for just the next couple of months, that even in all the difficult things you go through, all the private struggles, when you return to Him, guess what, right? He's going to overwhelm you with how much He loves you. And in prayer and in the Word, he will more than exceed what you want. All right.
All right, let's stand together. You know, the encouragement that Jesus gives us is to be sanctified. And so He says, Father, sanctify them, for as I have sanctified myself. And so what He's calling us to do is to be holy, to be made holy. And so that's the passion that we want to impart into your hearts. As you guys are about to go back home, or some of you will be staying, and you know some of the struggles that are going to be facing you. But even in the midst of thinking about everything that you guys are going to be encountering, to have that joy because Christ has gone before you. and that he desires holiness in our lives. It's really interesting that Jesus doesn't say, Father, take the disciples out of this world. He says, no, leave them in the world, but sanctify them. How? Through truth, which is the word of God. And that's why it's so important, as our brother Tufu was sharing, for us to be rooted in God's truth. Because we can't root it based on our feelings. It's not going to be circumstances, but it has to be God's truth. So it has to be where we go back to what we know. So that's what we want to be praying for as we close out our time. That as we think about the upcoming months, as we head into the summer, not only all the fun, the trips and summer classes and all the experiences that are waiting for us, but the desire of our hearts will be to say, God, make me holy. Not because I'm able to do it myself, but because Christ has gone before me. Sanctify me, God. And so this is what I want to strive for this summer. I don't want to just have a okay summer, but I want to have a summer where I can experience your holiness being poured out over my life. Sanctify me in your truth, that I may experience the victory and the joy of Christ, because he has already gone before me on the cross and he has paid the penalty for me. So as we close out our time, can we pray for that? I know that's a bold prayer, but let's lift up that prayer. That as I go back home, or as I stay here, Father, make me holy. That I will reflect who you are. Even with everything that's waiting for me, that I will not be defeated, because you have already won the battle on my behalf. So I depend on you, and I rely on you. So can we just pray for that? Father, sanctify me. Make me more like Jesus. So let's pray for that together, shall we? Let's pray together.